We are continuing with our creation class. We are in Parshas Vayeshev, and we just finished page 200. We're going to start from 202 tonight, but I want to give us a little bit of background here to catch us up and remind everybody where we were, because the last class was on February 22nd, so it's been a little while. So let's review over here. We have Yosef and his brothers, and we have Yosef's dreams. Last time we spoke about the different types of dreams, the different levels of dreams, and how some are more prophetic than others. We showed how Yosef's dreams were of a prophetic nature, although they weren't actual prophecy. They were a step beneath actual prophecy, because they were dreams, and they were he was meant to tell them over to his brothers, to his father, but they weren't actual prophecy. We showed how after the first dream with the sheaves of wheat that it says his brothers hated him. They hated him. It actually says they hated him before the dream, but after the first dream we read that they said, "Are you going to rule over us?" And they hated him now because of his dreams as well as his words. Then he dreamt the second dream with the stars and the moon and the sun bowing down to him. And this time, it doesn't say they hated him. Rather, it says that he said it again to his father and to his brothers. And his father said to him, "What's this dream that you're dreaming? Are we going to come to bow down to you?" And it says the brothers were jealous of him. The last verse that we learned at the bottom of page 200, Pasuk Yud Aleph, verse 11, is Vayikanu Vo'echav. His brothers were jealous of him. Ve'aviv Shamares Hadavar, and his father kept the matter in mind, is the way they translate it. So we suggested last time that after the first dream, the brothers assumed that Yosef's dreaming was based on his own aspirations. He wants to be king, so he's dreaming about being king. He wants people to bow down to him, so he's dreaming about people bowing down to him. But there's no real validity to his dreams. Therefore they hated him for it. But after the second dream, they began to realize that the dream was more than Yosef's own aspirations, but that there was some divine intervention going on here, and that the dream may be close to being prophetic in nature. And so they don't hate him for the dream, but they are jealous of him. His father, Yaakov, tried to show that the dream was not really true, because he says in Pasuk Yud, in verse 10, he says, "Havo navo ani v'imcha v'achecha v'shtacha v'zlacha arza." Are me and your mother and your brother is going to come back to bow down to you to the ground? And as Rashi explains, Yosef's mother Rachel had already passed away. So Yaakov was trying to show the brothers that this dream can't possibly be accurate because it can't reflect his mother who had already passed away. but in reality, his father kept the matter in mind because he did believe the dream would come true eventually. So we ended off last time with two questions. The two questions we ended off with were, what is this jealousy of the brothers? Why are they jealous? We understand that when the brothers are jealous, it's not the petty jealousy that we experience, that the level they were on precludes any kind of that sort of jealousy, but there is some jealousy here, and we said we have to understand what is the jealousy. What are they jealous of? If Hashem is giving him some sort of vision that he will eventually be king, so what are they jealous about? It's coming from Hashem. Whatever Hashem decrees, I'm sure the brothers would accept. So why are they jealous? That's one thing we have to deal with. And the other issue we have to deal with is, why does Yaakov have to keep the matter in mind? What is significant about keeping the matter in mind? Just say that Yaakov believed the dreams to be true. Keeping the matter in mind, Shamares Hadavar, literally means he protected the matter, or it could mean he waited for the matter. What is significant about that? Why is Yaakov keeping it in mind? Those are the two issues that we said we still need to clarify. So, to do that, we're going to read on a little bit first, and then we'll try to come back to these two points. So, on page 202, at the top of the page, Pasuk Yud Beis, verse 12. Vayolchu echav liros es son avihem b'shchem. And his brothers went to shepherd the sheep of their father in Shechem. Now, you notice on the word es, in the Hebrew side, do you notice there are two dots above the aleph and the tav? A dot above each one of them. Those dots are actually printed, written in the Sefer Torah itself. We know that the Sefer Torah has no vowels. It's just the Hebrew letters. But these two dots on top of the word S are printed in the Sefer Torah. It is there. So it's a rare event to have these sorts of things. Now, why is that? So, the word S, you understand, does not have an English translation. The word S, sometimes, the word S means with. Sometimes, here's another one over there. Sometimes the word S means with.
With.
Yeah. But only in context it can mean that way. Here it doesn't mean with. So the word S does not have a Hebrew, it does not have an English translation. But the word S is used to show what is the object of the sentence. Not always a direct object, but to show what is the object of the sentence. So the man, just let's just break up a sentence for everybody to be clear what we're talking about. The man kicked the ball, or the man kicked a ball. So the man is the subject of the sentence, kicked is the verb, and the object is the ball. Right? That's how we break it up in English. So in English, when you speak that way, it's clear what is the subject and what is the object. You're not going to think that it is the ball that kicked the man. Right? The way we speak, we understand. But in Hebrew, sometimes it can go both ways. Sometimes the subject can be written first, followed by the object. Sometimes it's the object that can be written, and then the subject. So the word S is to tell you what the object is. The word S will precede the object. It doesn't have a translation. It's just a word that tells you which of the two words is the object and which of the two words is the subject. That's the purpose of the word S, usually. Over here in our sentence, where it says, the brothers went liros to shepherd es tzon avihem b'shchem, the sheep of their father in Shechem. So the word es is telling you that tzon, that the word sheep, is the object that the verb is referring to. What did the brothers go to shepherd? They went to shepherd the sheep. Right? The brothers shepherded the sheep. So the subject is the brothers. The verb is shepherded, and the object is the sheep. Very simple sentence. If you take out the word S, if you omit the word S, then the sentence reads, Vayelchu echav liros, his brothers went to shepherd, tzon avihem b'shchem, the sheep of their father was in Shechem. It could be read as two separate clauses. Not that they went to shepherd the sheep, but rather they went to shepherd, and a secondary factor is the sheep of their father was in Shechem. Now, what would be the sense of such a verse? What does that mean? They went to shepherd. Well, if you're not going to tell me what they went to shepherd, then why tell me they went to shepherd? Number one. Number two, don't you usually shepherd sheep? I mean, isn't that obviously what they're going to shepherd? The dots on top of the word S tell you that there is yes, on the simple level, they went to shepherd their father's sheep, but on a deeper level, you omit the word S, and they went to shepherd. So what does that mean? What does shepherd mean?
To watch over.
Or to corral them.
Okay, to take care of. You have sheep that are out in the field. You can't just let them go by themselves. Mm-hmm. Someone's got to care for those sheep. So a shepherd cares for the sheep.
It also means move. So they should be moving Yosef.
Does it mean to move?
They can move. They can be moving Yosef.
But does shepherd mean to move?
Well, I mean to shepherd. Well,
to herd means to, yeah, but I don't know.
Maybe not.
Our sages tell us, "Vayelchu echav liros," that the brothers went to shepherd themselves. They had to get away. They were getting away from what was going on at home. The brothers were trying to get away. "Vayelchu echav liros." The brothers went to shepherd themselves to get themselves out of where they were. Yes, they took their father's sheep with them to Shechem, so that would be, what appearances would be, they're going to shepherd the sheep, but they actually went to shepherd themselves. Yeah.
What is to see? I thought Lirot was to see.
One? That's with an aleph. Spell with an alpha means to see. Spell with an ayin, it means to shepherd.
So does that answer why the two dots?
Because if you omit the word S, then you can break the verse up into two separate clauses. The brothers went to shepherd.
So without the two dots?
Without the word S.
Without the word S.
Right. With the word S, you read it, the brothers went to shepherd the sheep.
So why they go back to Shechem after they had that incident?
But the two dots don't make any difference? I mean,
the two dots tell us to omit the word S.
Omit it.
Now, you don't actually omit it. When the reader reads this, he reads the word S.
Okay,
but it's telling you there's a deeper way to understand the verse to omit the word S.
Okay.
That's Mrs. Stockman, your question?
Why did they go back to Shechem after they had that incident with
Jacob? Okay, well, Shechem we're going to discuss later. Shechem is a good question. Right? The question is, why Shechem? So first let's understand what happened, and then we can understand why Shechem. That may be for a later time to discuss the place of Shechem. We actually talked about Shechem when we talked about Dinah, but we'll try to refresh our memories. Yes?
In the text,
the
Tav just has two dots, just the
T. The Aleph and the Tav each have a dot.
There's no Aleph in the scroll.
Yeah, there is.
Oh, I thought you said there wasn't.
No, there is. There is. There's an Aleph and a Tav, and there are dots on top of each one.
Oh, okay.
That's right. Yeah.
Also, the dash in between S and so on, usually when you have the S and an object afterwards, you don't have a dash. So does that go with the two dots?
No, the dash is part of the punctuation, which is not found in the Torah. the dash you find, anytime there's a word that does not have a cantillation, then it's attached to another word with a dash. So S will frequently have a dash attaching it when there's no cantillation under the word S. When there is a cantillation under the word S, it will be read ace, not S. Every time, sometimes it says ace, sometimes S. With a cantillation, it says ace. Without the cantillation, it's S, and there's a dash connecting it to a word with a cantillation, with a trup.
When it's ace without a dash, does it mean something?
No, it's the same. The dash is just a way of punctuation regarding the trup, how to sing it. Okay. So, the brothers have gone to get away. Now, what are they getting away from?
Yosef and his dreams. Or the favoritism of the father.
Okay, Yosef's dreams, the favoritism.
They weren't all living in the same tent. These weren't just teenage boys.
Correct.
They were mostly adult, married. Some of them already had children. So they had to be kind of spread out. Was the influence of Joseph so strong over everything that they had to get away?
Seems that way. Mm-hmm. But what are they getting away from?
Themselves.
What do you mean themselves?
Their feelings towards Yosef and maybe towards their father now.
Okay, so the previous verse, the last verse we had is the brothers were jealous of him.
Of
Yosef. They were jealous of Yosef and their father kept the matter in mind. So the brothers now go to shepherd. The brothers were not happy being jealous. The brothers were jealous. Jealousy is not a trait that we aspire to have. And even though their jealousy is not going to be like our jealousy, as we're going to show, their jealousy is going to be on a much more refined level and will deal with something much more significant than our petty jealousies. Nevertheless, jealousy is jealousy. And the brothers wanted to get away from that jealousy. Now, I imagine that getting away, first of all, if the object of your jealousy is not in front of you, then you tend to be less jealous. But more than that, I imagine that they were trying to work out their own thoughts and feelings so they would not be jealous. So they leave and go to Shechem. Pasuk Yigimel, verse 13. Vayomer Yisrael Yosef, and Yisrael said to Yosef, Yisrael, of course, is Yaakov. Halo achacha ro'im b'shechem. Behold, your brothers are shepherding in Shechem. Lechav eshlachacha aleihem. Go, and I will send you to them. Vayomer lo, hineini. And he said to him, here I am. Now Yosef said, as you wish. Right? I'll do as you say. So Yaakov gives, he kind of introduces to Yosef that he's about to give him a job. And the next verse says, Vayomer lo, he said to him, Lechna re'ei, go now and see, es shlom achechav es shlom hatzon, the peace of your brothers and the peace of the sheep, v'hashiveni davar, and return me a thing, in other words, tell me about it, v'yishlochehu me'emek chevron, and he sent him from the valley of Chevron, v'yavo shechema, and he came to Shechem. So this is at first glance highly unusual. Think about it. Yaakov wants to send Yosef to the brothers. So Yaakov calls over Yosef and he says, you know, your brothers are shepherding in Shechem. How about if I send you to them? So he says, whatever you want. Hineni, I'll do whatever you want. So Yaakov says, go and see the peace of your brothers and the peace of the sheep and tell me about it. Come back and tell me about it. So why do you need the introduction? Just start with the second verse. Go and see the peace of your brothers and the peace of the sheep and tell me about it. What's the purpose of the first verse? Behold, your brothers are shepherding in Shechem. Go and I'll send you to them.
Maybe he's indicating to them that they're unhappy,
and
that's why they're not.
So then, why send him?
That's the question I have. Why send him at all?
What is the purpose of the first verse? What's he doing in the first verse?
Lechor instead of lech. Does that have any?
That is a nuance. I'm not sure the difference. That is something to think about. I don't know the difference between those two things. Yeah.
It's also strange because, I mean, he's been ratting on his brothers to Yosef, to Yaakov, and now he's being sent there to go and again rat and come back and give a report. So it's very unusual.
Okay.
Maybe he's
what?
Sending them to appease them to try and take care of the situation.
He doesn't say that. He says, go see the peace of your brothers and the peace of the sheep. Go see that they're doing all right.
Question. Whenever you send the Torah, Hineni, here I am, it's usually with all of patriarchs, and including Moshe, it's always when it's right before mission, and Hashem is asking that.
Right.
So it's like a, it's
it's not always Hashem, but it is an acceptance of a mission. Whatever you say, I'll do.
Of a mission.
Yeah.
Right.
Doesn't it appear that Yaakov is asking Yosef permission to send him on a mission?
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't it look like that? Says to him, behold, your brothers are shepherding in Shechem. Let me send you to them. So Yosef says, I'm here. Whatever you want. So Yaakov says, okay, fine. Here's your official mission. Here is your job. Go and see the peace of your brothers and the peace of the sheep and come back and tell me. So Yaakov begins by stating to Yosef the situation and what he wants to do, but he doesn't actually command him yet. He just says, I would like to send you there. And Yosef says, all right, I'm ready. Then Yaakov says, go. Now Yaakov could have started off by saying go, and Yosef would have had to go because he has to listen to his father. But it seems that Yaakov feels that before he sends Yosef, he needs to first see if Yosef is amenable to doing it. Now, why does he need to see if Yosef is willing to do it? Okay, because maybe Yosef doesn't want to deal with his brothers. Maybe Yosef is afraid. Maybe it's dangerous. So Yaakov first asks Yosef, is it okay if I give you a job to go to Shechem? It's like, you know, if we would say to our kids, is it okay if we give you a job? Of course not. You're asking me already. No way. Right? But Yaakov says to Yosef, I'd like to send you to Shechem. Yosef says, fine, whatever you want me to do. Then Yaakov actually sends him. Go, find out how your brothers and the sheep are doing and come back and tell me. Yeah.
I think he has to ask him because he uses the name Yisrael. I
mean, okay, good.
He uses the name Yisrael and he realizes now that the 10 tribes, he's taken the back seat. So Yosef is going to become a bigger picture. That's why he realizes what the dreams are about, which is why he holds it in the back of his mind. So he has to ask him.
Okay. Well, he doesn't know what's going to happen. He doesn't realize that
this is with them anyway. I mean, all the brothers are doing this. And
the brothers wanted to get away from Yosef.
I know, but Yosef, I understand their part, but shouldn't Yosef have been a part of them shepherding anyway? It seems like Yaakov didn't allow him to get...
I don't know if Yaakov didn't allow him, but certainly they didn't want him with them.
So why Yaakov sent him if
okay,
it
why
was
Yaakov
clear
sent
that
okay,
brothers
good
don't want to see him?
Good, okay.
They're jealous, okay. They want to
good
go away,
good
and the way...
Good, yeah.
Is it possible... I didn't hear what she said. She may have said the same thing that I'm thinking, but maybe that Yosef should see how his brothers are doing now that they're in a different place, and can they make peace now?
Okay. Okay, that's possible. That's possible. Yeah.
I think Yaakov realized that there's some destiny, something has okay to happen. He has to help facilitate it.
Okay. The name Yisrael that is used in Pasuk Yud Beis, verse 12, how have we said, what have we said before? The difference between when Yisrael is used and when Yaakov is used.
Since
you're
spiritual, but isn't one more national?
Okay, we've used the theme that Yisrael is national or universal. Yisrael deals with the generations, deals with eternity. Yaakov is dealing with the here and now. Whenever Yisrael is used, you're dealing with something much bigger than what meets the eye. Vayomer Yisrael. Yisrael says to Yosef, this is not just, you know, I'd like to know how the sheep are doing. There's something much deeper going on over here. The Mefarshim point out in Pasuk Yud Dalet in 14, and he sent him by Yishlacheu me'emek Chevron. He sent him from the valley or the depths of Chevron. Chevron is not a valley. What is Chevron?
Hill.
It's a hill. Mountain, whatever you want to call it, but it's not a valley. So what valley of Chevron is he sending him from? So the Mefarshim say that this is not, it's not referring to the place. He was living in Chevron, that's true. But it is from the depths of Chevron. It is in order to fulfill something that has to do with a person who is buried in Chevron. At this time, in Yaakov's time, who is buried in Chevron right now, at this point in the story? Okay, Abraham and Sarah. Adam and Chava. Abraham and Sarah. Well, Yitzchak is still alive. And what's that? Leah is buried. And Rivka is buried as well. So Abraham, Sarah. Adam and Chava. Abraham and Sarah. Rivka and Leah. Yitzchak is still alive. We'll talk about that later. Yitzchak is still alive. Yaakov is obviously still alive. And they're the last two people who will be buried in the Maror Samachpelah. So our sages tell us that the depths of Chevron refers to Avraham because, as we learned back in Parshas Lech Lecha, there was the Bris Bein HaBesarim. There was the covenant between the parts that was made between Hashem and Avraham. And in that covenant, there was a guarantee that the children of Avraham will be strangers in a land not their own, and they will become slaves. That has not happened yet. This is the first step in bringing about slavery. Yosef is going to be sent from Hebron to Shechem, and that will be the last time his father sees him for the next 22 years. Because when he gets to Shechem, he's going to be abducted, he's going to be sold into slavery, he will find his way down to Egypt. While in Egypt, he will rise to the position of viceroy, there will be a terrible famine, Yosef will become the one in charge of the food, Yaakov and his sons are going to be looking for food, Yosef will get all the brothers to come down to Egypt, he will then reveal himself to them, and then he will send for his father and the rest of the family to come down to Egypt, and that's how we end up in Egypt. And then after Yaakov and all the brothers die, then the slavery begins, until we finally get out of Egypt with the Exodus. So this is the first step, right here. So he sends him from the depths of Hebron. It doesn't mean geographically a deep place. It means the depths of what's going on with the person who is buried in Hebron, with Abraham Avinu, to fulfill this prophecy that took place long ago. That is why the name Yisrael is used. Because this is not merely a simple go check on the sheep, go check on your brothers, go see what's going on. This is much more universal. This is much broader, much bigger than what we have here in front of us.
Was Jacob aware of the significance?
Well, okay. Now, was Yaakov aware of the significance? So, it is clear that Yaakov is aware of the significance. Because that's why he has an introduction to his command to Yosef. Yaakov knows that his brothers are jealous of him. Yaakov understands that his brothers were trying to get away from him. But Yaakov also knows that he must send Yosef. Now, why does he think he must send Yosef? What is it? Is it that he got some kind of a premonition from Hashem that he must send Yosef? Or is there something else that's showing Yaakov that he should be sending Yosef?
Actually, I don't have an answer to that question.
Linda, do you have an answer to that question?
Well, I don't know, but might it be that if these are the 12 tribes of the nation of Israel and they've got to come together?
Yeah, but why now?
Because he kept that in mind.
But what? Why? I mean, it could be any time.
Because then they went to Shechem.
Okay. It seems the key is Shechem. The fact is they went to Shechem. We'll get back to this in a moment. You want to ask your question?
Well, Rabbi Fransky, if all of this is going on underneath, inside of everybody, why would Yosef wear his coat that he knows is so aggravating to everybody? That would just incite them more. If he's going there to hopefully make peace or something, you would think that he would go more humbly.
We have not seen that he's going there to make peace. That we haven't seen. We have seen that it is a dangerous situation, that his father knows he has to send him, and Yosef is willing to go.
So did he wear his coat every time since his father gave it to him? Was it just an automatic thing that he just always wore it?
I imagine that's the case. I don't know for sure.
So it's not like he intentionally at this time.
Right. I don't believe that that's the case. Excuse me. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech haolam shehakol nivra.
Amen.
If you'll notice, in Pasuk Yud Beis, in 12, if we read the verse without the word S, the brothers went to shepherd, their father's sheep was in Shechem. So the fact that the brothers went to shepherd, we talked about that. The brothers went to shepherd. Not to shepherd the sheep, but to shepherd themselves. Fine. But what about the second half of the verse? Their father's sheep was in Shechem. Yeah. Why is that important? So it seems that that is the issue at hand. The fact that Shechem is where they went, and that's where the sheep were, and the father then said, Yaakov says to Yosef, what does he say in the next verse in Yud Gimel 13? Vayomer Yisrael Yosef, Yisrael says to Yosef, Halo achecha ro'im b'Shechem. Your brothers are shepherding in Shechem.
Are they not?
What?
And he says, are they not?
Aren't they? Aren't they? Right. Aren't they shepherding in Shechem?
To agree to that.
Isn't, don't you see this is important? There's something important that has to get done and Shechem is the key. They're in Shechem. How about if I send you to them? It's not going to be an easy mission. This is going to be dangerous. How about it? I need your consent. I'm not going to send you if you don't want to go. Yosef says, I'm ready to go. Then his father says, okay, if that's the case, this is your mission. Go and see the peace of your brothers and the peace of the sheep and come back and tell me. He sent him from the depths of Hebron, as we just mentioned, and he came to Shechem.
Where does the phrase depths of Hebron come in? It doesn't have anything.
That's what we were just talking about.
No, the depths.
That's where the bigger picture. And yeah, but it doesn't say. The depths of Hebron is allusion to maybe Abraham Avinu.
Right, but where does that?
Where
there's no phrase in
the. No, Amic Hebron. How do they translate it in English? Depth of Hebron. Yes.
Oh, where? Oh, I see.
Yeah, from the depth of Hebron.
I'm so sorry.
That's okay. Okay. So obviously we have to understand Shechem. Let's read a little further. Vayimtzaehu ish, a man found him. Vine so'eh basadeh, behold. He was blundering in the field. That's a good translation. He was blundering in the field. So Yosef was blundering in the field. Apparently couldn't find his brothers. Vayishalehu ha'ish le'mor. And the man asked him, Matavakesh, what are you looking for? Vayomer. And he said, Esachayon ochim evakesh. I'm looking for my brothers. Hagida nali. Please tell me, Eifo heim ro'im. Where are they shepherding? Vayomer ha'ish, the man said, Nas umizeh, they traveled from here. Ki shamati omrim, for I heard them say, Nelcha dosayna, let us go to Dosan. Vayelach Yosef acharechav, Yosef went after his brothers, Vayimtzaim bidosan, and he found them in Dosan. So something very significant has just happened. Something has gone awry. What has gone awry? They're not in Shechem. Now they are near Shechem. Shechem is known as the place where the brothers sold Yosef. Because they were in Shechem. Dothan is not far from Shechem. It's an area near Shechem. But something has gone awry. It's not happening the way that their father had planned this. He gets there and they're not there. And somebody finds him and says, what are you looking for? And he tells him, and he says, I heard them leaving. And now, in the next verse, the brothers are going to plot to kill him. Now, who is this man? Okay, so our sages tell us this man is the angel Gabriel. He's found by a man, by Gabriel. And he's blundering in the field. He can't find his brothers. So now Gabriel says to Yosef, what are you looking for? Yosef says, I'm looking for my brothers. Please tell me, where are they shepherding? The man said, they traveled from here. Rashi tells us he had a deeper meaning to what he was saying. You're looking for your brothers? They have traveled from here. They're not acting like your brothers. This was a veiled warning to Yosef. Don't go. For I heard them saying, let us go to Dosan. Now, this is not easy to do in English. But the words, Nelcha Dosayna, let us go to Dosan, can also be read. You have to, this is not, I'm not going to be able, not without a lot of explanation, to go through the exact nuances of the Hebrew words Nelcha and Dosayna. But he was telling him with these words, they've gone to Dosan, that they've gone to look for ways of getting rid of you. And again, I wish I could, it's just going to be very complicated. You have to Nikle Dosos, you'd have to go through the exact Hebrew words. It's a little bit complicated to do. So I'm not going to attempt to do that. Yosef went after his brothers and he found them in Dosan. Now, this man, yes?
Did Yosef understand?
Okay, that's the question. Right. Did Yosef understand what Gabriel was telling him? What do you think?
Well, he's an intelligent guy. He probably did.
Intelligent guy. I would say it even more. I would say it even more convincingly. If he didn't understand what Gabriel was saying, why did Gabriel say it?
So why did Gabriel try to stop something that should, that prophetic thing to happen?
Gabriel is an angel. An angel is a
messenger.
Is a messenger.
To send them there.
An angel is a robot. An angel does exactly what God tells him to do. So Hashem sent Gabriel to warn Yosef, this is dangerous. One second, This is dangerous. And Yosef, anyway, goes on to his brothers. Which is one minute. That wasn't Yosef already warned that this was dangerous? Who warned him? His father. So his father says, I want to send you on a dangerous mission. Because he says, Hineni, I'm ready to go. He gets there. They're not there. And Hashem sends an angel to warn Yosef that it's dangerous. And Yosef goes anyway. Was he a fool? Yes.
Why, if this is setting up the whole scenario to get the people in Egypt, why is God sending, Hashem sending Gabriel to try to
stop him? Why stop him? Why stop him? Right? What's going on over here? It almost seems like Hashem is trying to get him to turn back. It's like the music in the background. It's like the dangerous music, and you're in your seat, you're yelling, "Go back, go back!" Right? And he's just going right into it. He's going right into the lion's den. Right? It's interesting. Okay, it's an interesting way of looking at it. Okay.
Did Yosef know that it was God?
I don't know if he knew that it was an angel, but he knew that he was being warned. He was no fool. Otherwise, there'd be no point in the warning. The warning is not for us. I mean, we're seeing that he was warned, but the warning was for Yosef. Hashem is not going to warn him in a way that he can't figure it out. Then it's not a warning.
Maybe it's a warning not to stop him, but just to make him aware that
he's... Okay, prepared. Okay, good.
Rabbi Pransky, when you have the... this is getting a little technical, but I was just curious. When you have the directional hey, like Shechema,
yeah,
you just add a hey at the end.
Correct.
But here, in Yosoyana, there's a yud in there.
Okay. You're right. I don't know what to make of that. That's a good question.
Would that be anything spiritual?
I'm sure it's important. I don't know the answer. It's a good point. So Yosef is being warned. It seems that Hashem has a plan for Yosef. Now we know in retrospect what that plan is. That plan is that he's going to get sold and he's going to end up in a very, very difficult time in Egypt. That for 22 years he's separated from everything he grew up with, from everything he ever had, and he's going to remain steadfast in his service to Hashem. We know that. We know that he's going to go from being Yosef to Yosef HaTzadik, to the righteous one, because of his episode with Potiphar's wife and his resisting Potiphar's wife. We know that's going to happen. We know that Yosef is going to, his star is about to rise, but it's going to be very difficult for it to happen. We know that. And this is the first step. And Hashem is giving Yosef the chance to back out. Yaakov says to Yosef, I'm going to send you on this mission. It's not going to be easy. Yaakov didn't know what was going to happen. Yaakov didn't know Yosef was going to be sold, but he knew there was something difficult that was going to happen over here. Yaakov says to Yosef, I'm going to send you. Is that all right? Yosef says, I'm ready. He gets there. The angel comes and says, Yosef, this is dangerous. They're looking to kill you. They're looking to get rid of you. Yosef says, I'm going anyway. Yosef accepted his mission twice, despite the dangers. What's the difference between a person who goes through a difficult situation when they have accepted it in advance and when they have not accepted it in advance?
You can back out.
You could back out, but if you didn't, if you accepted it.
If you go forward, you're prepared.
You're prepared. So Yosef is prepared for trial, for difficulty. He understands. He doesn't know what the difficulty is going to be, But he knows it's going to be difficult. Now, he may not realize just how difficult it's going to be. That's possible. But he knows that he's in for it. This is not going to go smoothly. So he goes, and I agree with everybody who said before that there was an element of shalom over here, because Yaakov used the words shalom achecha v'shalom atzon, the peace of the brothers, the peace of the sheep. We're looking here for reconciliation. We're looking here for a way of Yosef and the brothers to be able to emerge as one complete whole, one unit, Yosef being the head of that unit, as the dreams have already foretold. Yosef understands this is not going to be simple. These are people who are jealous of me and who have reason to be upset with me. And now he's told they're still upset with you. They're looking for ways of getting rid of you. And Yosef says, I'm going anyway. This is my destiny. This is my mission. I am not shirking my responsibility. This is what Hashem wants me to do, and I'm going to go. And Yosef goes, and we know what happens in the end. We know that in the end he's going to be sold. Now, was he wrong for going?
Well, why do you think this is mission? How could
Because Yaakov told him. Yaakov said to him, your brothers are in Shechem. They know that being in Shechem means something very important. And they understand that there's something big that's going to happen over here. See, when we talked about Shechem, back when we learned about Dinah, we talked about Shechem being a place where there is, it has the potential for great reconciliation, great for people coming together, or for just the opposite, people being torn apart. Shechem, we talked about back with Dina, the people of Shechem wanted to become one with Yaakov's family. That's the natural thing of Shechem. Shechem is a place where people want to come together. But instead, it resulted in their being completely destroyed, being completely separated from Yaakov's family. The brothers separate in Shechem. Later on in history, when the kingdom of Israel is split in two, with the northern and southern kingdom, that happens in Shechem. That's where the Navi, where the prophet Achia HaShiloni, meets with the king Yeravam ben Nevat and instructs him that he is to rebel and secede from the union, that the 10 tribes should become their own country as a punishment to the Jewish people. That happens in Shechem. But at the same time, Shechem is also the place where we have the covenant with Hashem of Har Gerizim and Har Eval. That in the future, well not in the future from this point, when we got into Israel and we stood on the two mountains and the Levim were in the middle and they said all the curses and the blessings and everybody answered Amen and they're going to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that all happened in Shechem as well. The place where we solidified our connection with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, with Hashem. Shechem has the potential for incredible union and also incredible disunion. That's right. And so the fact that the brothers are in Shechem says to Yaakov, this is the time for Yosef to go, for there to be reconciliation, and for everything to come out the way it's meant to come out. Yeah, it's not going to be easy, he tells Yosef. You're going to have a lot to overcome, and understand this is Shechem. With Shechem, there's no middle ground. Either you're going to emerge from Shechem, there's one big happy family, or you're going to emerge from Shechem completely torn asunder. Do you accept your mission? And Yosef says, I do. And he goes. He gets there, and the angel says to him, it's really difficult because the brothers are really upset. And Yosef goes ahead anyway. In the end, they are torn apart. And Yosef is sent down to Egypt. When the brothers are going to come back and Yaakov is going to be beside himself with the loss of Yosef, Yaakov knew the risks. Yaakov is no fool. He knows the risks when he sends Yosef. He thinks this is the way to do it. unfortunately, it doesn't happen the way he expected it. In the end, was it good that Yosef did it? That he went?
Sure.
Why?
He was supposed to. Carry get ready for the family to come and restarted our exile.
Does Yosef, through his traveling to Shechem, does he indeed become the king and become the leader of the Jewish people and become the one who leads the Jewish people throughout the next stage after Yaakov? Absolutely, that's what happens through Shechem. Because of Shechem, Yosef ends up in Egypt, his star rises, and he becomes who he's meant to become, the viceroy, etc. All that is because of the travel to Shechem. In the end, it is what happens. It is through Shechem that the dreams come true. Not the way Yaakov had thought it was going to happen, not the way Yosef was hoping it was going to happen, but in the end, it is what happens. It is through his traveling to Shechem that the dreams come true, that Yosef's star rises. What is not realized until it happens is that in order for Yosef's star to rise, he needs to go down a few more notches. Yosef has to be dropped down to the level of slave before he's able to rise to the level of king. That's what the missing piece. And that's going to happen now through his traveling to Shechem. We're going to track Yosef. That Yosef, remember in the beginning, when we talked about the beginning of Vayeshev, we talked about how Yosef has there's something, I don't want to use words, I always have this trouble with Yosef, I don't want to use words that make him seem like us. He's so much greater than we are. But there's something that he still needs to learn. There's something about leadership that he has not yet incorporated into himself. And again, I say it very cautiously, because he was a far better leader before he was sold than any of us are now. But he, on his level, to be the type of great leader that he needed to be, there was a certain nuance in dealing with his subordinates that it had to be learned. And that's going to happen through his being sold into slavery. So that's what's going to happen. So the going to Shechem, Yaakov knows his going to Shechem is going to catapult Yosef to being the star. But it's not going to be a straight upward rise. First it's going to be down and then up again. But it is Shechem that's going to trigger it all happening. Yeah.
We talk a lot about Joseph's test. What about the brothers? Did they pass?
Well, no one is passing their test yet. No one's passed anything yet.
But at this point, for them to block and kill the brother, it seems like because Joseph was a big challenge to them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it seems like they were doing the right thing. But were they also, did Hashem have them?
Okay, so that's a very good question. And that really gets back to the question we started with, which is what is this jealousy that they have? Why are they jealous? So, we haven't yet gotten to the brothers. That's the next step. So, I don't know if we're going to complete the thought tonight, but we're going to try to start it anyway, about where are the brothers coming from. Because now, so far, the scene has been Yosef and his father. Now, the scene is shifting to the brothers observing Yosef's arrival. So, that's the next verse. Pasuk Yerches 18. Vayir'u osam erachok. And they saw him from far away. So before even Yosef even gets to them, the brothers see that he's arriving. Uveterem yikrav aleihem, and before he got close to them, vayisnaklu oso lahamiso, they plotted about him to kill him. Vayomru ish elachiv, and one man said to his brother, hinei ba'al hachalomos halazeh ba, behold the, how do they translate it?
Yeah.
The dreamer, the owner of the dreams, the dreaming guy. He's coming. Look at that. Ve'ata, and now, l'chu v'nahargehu, let's go and kill him. V'nashnichehu be'achad ha'boros, and let's throw him in one of the pits. Ve'amarnu, and we will say, chaya ra'a achalasu, a wild animal consumed him. V'nir'em mayu chalomosav, and we'll see what will be with his dreams. V'yishma re'uvein, and Reuven heard, v'yatzilehu mi'adam, and he saved him from their hands. Vayomer, and he said, Lo na kenu nafesh, we will not strike a soul. Vayomer alehem Uvein, al tishpichu dam. And Uvein said to them, don't spill blood. Hashlichu oso el habor hazeh asher bamidbar. Throw him into this pit that is in the wilderness. V'yod al tishlichu bo. And don't send your hand against him. Leman hatzil oso miyadam, in order to save him from their hand, from their hands. Lahashivo el aviv, to return him to his father. So this is the conversation between the brothers before Yosef gets to them. The next verse is going to be Yosef actually getting to them. So we've now, this scene has shifted, and now we have to understand the perspective of the brothers. So before he even gets to them, they plot to kill him. One man said to his brother, behold, the dreamer has come. Now, which brother said this to which brother? Well, we know it wasn't one brother. Which brother do we know it was not doing the talking? It wasn't Reuven. Because Reuven hears this, and he wants to save him. So, okay. So later we will see that this is Shimon and Levi talking. Shimon is talking to Levi. Shimon's talking to Levi. Reuven, clearly it is not him. Shimon is talking to Levi. And he says, behold, the dreamer has come. And now let's kill him. And let's throw him in one of the pits. And we will say a wild animal consumed him. The end of verse 20, and we will see what will be with his dreams. Now, our sages ask the question, what do you mean we'll see what will be with his dreams? If he's dead, then clearly the dreams are not going to come true. So what do you mean we will see what will be with his dreams? Now, I always read this before knowing what our sages say. I always thought this was sarcasm. You know, so we'll see what happens with his dreams. Right? Mm-hmm. But our sages understand that the tribes were not sarcastic. So therefore, who said this, and let's see what it will be with his dreams. So our sages tell us, they're not talking over here. Their statement goes until, and we will say, a wild animal has consumed him. And at that point, the Torah writes, for our own edification, that Hashem, so to speak, said, and let's see what happens with his dreams. In other words, you're trying to plot to stop his dreams from happening, but I'm plotting to make his dream happen. So let's see who wins. You're plotting, and I'm plotting. Let's see which one comes out on top. That's right. Okay. Now, we have to understand where the brothers are coming from. They want to stop his dreams, but why? Yes, they're jealous, but the question we left outstanding last time, and we started with this time, is, okay, so they don't like the dreams. But if they're from God, so then, tough. You know? I don't like fasting on Yom Kippur, but God said so. Tough. So you got to fast, right? But we showed last time that they were jealous of him. They didn't hate him for the second dream. They understood once the second dream happened that it was coming from God. It was prophetic. It wasn't prophecy, but it was a dream that was prophetic in nature. So the brothers understand that there's something divine going on over here. They're jealous. But why are they jealous? Jealousy means that for some reason I don't want you to have what you have, or I want what you have. But if it all comes from God anyway, and I am a God-fearing person, then jealousy is irrational. Now, we all know that we're jealous even though we know it's irrational. But we're jealous anyway. But that's because we're small people. But they weren't small people. They were very big people. So why are they jealous? We have to understand this jealousy. But this jealousy is leading them to want to kill him. Were they murderers? Is it that the jealousy got a hold of them to the point that they were ready to kill someone in cold blood? Their brother? It's very difficult to understand that. I understand that they wanted to get away from him. Fine. But now they want to kill him? It goes beyond what you would expect the brothers to be. especially if they see their own fault and they were trying to get away from their jealousy and now they want to kill him. That's a question we're going to have to deal with next time. I'm just leaving us with our outstanding points. I realize that it's still worth, we have these things, but we have to. What?
2 weeks.
Oh, you're right. It's two weeks.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. I'm sorry. Okay. So again. So hold on. Hold on. You know, I have to say this again because the way I remember what I said is I listened to the very end of the tape. Okay. So we have here. First of all, we haven't yet figured out the brother's jealousy, but now we have another point to add to their jealousy, which is that they want to kill him, which is worse. They didn't want to kill him before. It doesn't say they wanted to kill him when they were still back at home. It's only now in Shechem or Dothan that they want to kill him. What's happening over here? Fine. So they want to kill him. Reuben hears this and he saves him from their hands. Apparently Reuben didn't agree with their wanting to kill him. Was Reuben not jealous?
He certainly was jealous.
He was jealous just like the rest of them. But apparently his jealousy did not lead him to the conclusion that we have to kill Yosef. So he says, we're not going to kill a soul. We're not going to do that. Now, he doesn't tell them don't let him die. He just says don't kill him. We're not killing him. We're not going to kill him in cold blood. Pasuk Chafetz, verse 22, Reuben said to them, don't spill blood, throw him into this pit that is in the wilderness, and don't send your hand against him. What Reuben was telling them is, let him die naturally. Don't kill him, don't raise your hand against him. In other words, Reuben was acting in a little bit of a deviant, right, that's right. He was trying to save Yosef's life, but he didn't want his brothers to know that he was trying to save Yosef's life, because then they would have killed him. So he says, just throw him into this pit over here, and don't send your hand against him. And then the Torah tells us, of course Reuben didn't say this, the Torah tells us, you know why he said that? In order to save him from their hands, to return him to their father. The Gemara says, if Reuben would have known that Hashem would write in the Torah these words, in order to save him from their hands, to return him to his father, he would have picked Yosef up and put him on his shoulders and carried him back home. If he would have realized just how significant what he was doing was. So, the scene is set. All the brothers are jealous. Some of the brothers, at least Shimon and Levi, have decided the right thing to do is to kill Yosef. Reuven does not agree with them, but doesn't want them to know that he doesn't agree with them. So Reuben says, don't send your hand against them, throw him into this pit. Notice that they were going to kill him and throw him into a pit, into one of the pits. And Reuben says, no, don't kill him, just throw him into this pit. We're going to see there are a lot of boros, a lot of pits that are going to be discussed over here. And we need to understand how many boros were there? How many pits were there? What was the difference between them? And why boros? Why pits? Answer that question right now. Why pits with Yosef?
He has to go down.
And then he's going to go up. We're going to find he's put in a pit over here. When he gets to Egypt, he's going to be thrown into a pit as well, as we will see. Yosef starts off in the pits. He has to. In order to rise to where he's going to rise. The heights he's going to rise to.
But maybe he picked that pit because some of the other ones had snakes
and stuff. Okay, good. This one did too.
Hashem saved us from it.
We have to understand it. So let's leave off with questions. What's the jealousy? Why did they want to kill him? Why did Reuben not want to kill him? What's the difference? What was their machlokas? They obviously have a disagreement. What's the disagreement? Why does some want to kill him, some don't want to kill him? What's the difference? These pits, what's the significance of each of these pits? And why doesn't Reuven want to tell them that he disagrees with them? He's just faking it. He's pretending that he's with them, but he's really not. These are the issues we have to understand. We are obviously not going to conclude that the brothers were simply overcome with jealousy and they were seething mad and they were just going to lash out at everything. There is a rhyme and reason and cheshbon. There is a calculation to everything that's going on over here. Just as we explain Yosef and Yaakov, the next step is to understand the brothers. And that will take place not next week, because next week is the Amram Institute, so we will not be meeting next week, but in 2 weeks' time, which will be, what's the date?
29th.
The 29th of?
7:30.
29th of March.
7:30 as usual.
Yes, 7:30 as usual, not 8 o'clock. 7:30 as usual on March 29th. Yes.
I didn't want to change.